Welcome to The Learning Link, CDRCP's professional learning podcast, where educators, parents, and community leaders explore innovative practices, inspiring stories, and the latest insights in child development and early learning. Our goal is to connect you with the knowledge and tools you need to make a lasting impact on the lives of children and families.
Hello, and welcome back to CDRCP's professional learning podcast, The Learning Link. I'm Bibi Hanif, and I'm your host this week as we explore filling our own cups as educators, talking about what self-care means and the duty we have to ourselves and the children and families we work with to take care of our own individual needs. Now, before we dive in, we want to let you know that you can find more professional learning opportunities like this on the professional learning page on our website and follow us at CDRCP on all social media platforms. And if you're a fan of the show, please do remember to like and comment your reflections on the podcast platform you're listening in on. Today, I'm joined with Taylor Davis, CDRCP's Special Projects Coordinator. Welcome to the podcast, Taylor. I am going to hand it over to you to introduce yourself to our listeners.
Well, hello, everyone. Thank you for having me on the podcast. Not the first time, because I hosted last podcast with all of you, kind of putting you all in the hot seat, but that's okay. I started at CDRCP last year. I think it was like last February or March. And I started as the Quality Enhancement Initiative and Professional Learning Specialist. And then this year, around almost the exact same time, mm-hmm. I stepped into my new role, which is the Special Projects Coordinator here. And also, on top of all of this, because you know me, jack of all trades, master of none, when I'm not working with all of you and all of the teams here at CDRCP, I also teach on the side. As a part-time faculty member for some local colleges for their ECE programs. That's me. What I really love about my role right now is I kind of have my hand in everything. Mm-hmm. So I have experience doing what you all do. So I have a huge connection with all of you. I have a great connection with the Quality Initiative mentors because mm-hmm. the program that they are currently doing, I helped them build. And then on top of all of that, I get to still support the community, but from the behind the scenes version of just helping you all with your own innovative ideas, which is great. And then also my part-time passion, which is just helping the learning and guiding the learning of pre-service educators.
It's good that you mentioned that, just because one thing I know and I admire about you is just how passionate and devoted you are to like the entire earlier sector. And we know, like, as educators, we give a lot of our time, energy, and attention to the children we love, community, and even in your case, the students, the ECE students that you teach. But at the same time, like, we know that we can't pour from an empty cup. So I think, let's start off, my question to you is, what does self-care mean to you?
It's actually really interesting that you added me to this podcast, because as we just discussed, I tend to overfill with responsibilities. I like to keep myself busy. I'm obviously someone who takes lifelong learning very seriously, and since I'm very passionate of working with other people, sometimes I have trouble saying no, which is great being on the podcast this week, because now I have to stop and I have to reflect on self-care and what I currently do, but also what I should be doing to ensure that I don't get burnt out as well. I really love the concept that you just said about we cannot fill with an empty cup, which is very, very true. Yeah. And for the listeners who've never heard that concept before, it's this idea that if you burn yourself out to the brim, then you have nothing to give others.
Yeah.
And that will create a more difficult environment or more difficult relationships within your field, whether it's working with children, working with their families, as a supervisor, mm-hmm. working with your staff, and or even just in your personal life, something has to give. I like to think of that what would you call that, an analogy?
Analogy, I guess,
yeah. I'm going to call it an analogy.
I'll call it an analogy, yeah.
I like to think of it as, how did that cup get empty? Okay, and a lot of us think that at some point, educators have that burning point where mm-hmm. they decide to leave the field and they It's not necessarily always a blow up, but it does feel that way inside. Yeah. But it's not from one huge incident that occurred. It wasn't from one difficult conversation with a parent. It's a slow trickle. Mm-hmm. So when I imagine this cup, I imagine this cup with a lot of holes.
Yeah.
And every single time that you continuously try to fill and pour and fill and pour as quick as possible or as efficient as possible, those holes just get bigger and bigger and bigger. Just as if we keep all of our issues deep inside, they just start to compile on top of mm-hmm. each other, and eventually you have to give up somewhere.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you say that, because we talk a lot about how things are taken differently because of perspectives, and we talked about previously in our podcast the idea of what it looks like for each other, right? So for me, I think when I think of what self-care means to me, it's different. I can have a big day where I just want to go maybe do something that I love, or it can be as simple as just going to get my nails done. I know you and I have this thing where we check our nails once a week, but just even going to get our nails done, honestly, just going and get an ice cream for a little treat. I think those are little things that I'm able to do. And you just mentioned that, you know, we can keep adding to this cup, but also being able to recognize when we need to stop and take a break and take care of ourselves first before we're able to, you know, take care of the others.
I could not agree more. Another concept that I think is really interesting that I think listeners would love to know, specifically around how self-care sometimes can be portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care sometimes can sound selfish. It has the word self in it. So you might think that you're prioritizing yourself over others and those kind of pieces. But really, I like to think self-care as being an altruistic feature, which is just talking about how if you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of others.
Yeah.
Okay? Altruism is the act of having concern for the well-being of others. And I feel that if you're taking care of yourself, you are really thinking about the concern of others' well-being, because you know you can't build relationships when you can't take care of yourself.
Yeah. And so I actually found this definition that kind of sums up what you just said. So the Canadian Mental Health Association talks about how caring for ourselves is simply making time to do the things that improve our physical and mental health. And you touched beautifully on that, where you said that it's just putting ourselves first. And like you said, if we can't take care of ourselves first, how are we expected to take care of others, right? So let's talk a little bit about why is it important. I'll put it back on you. Why is self-care important for you?
It's interesting. I find that I go in waves of caring about self-care. Mm-hmm. Although we've had over the past 3 years, I think there's been a huge boom in prioritizing self-care for educators. And that's through the pandemic. And I know no one ever likes talking about the pandemic. They're like, oh my goodness, I'm tired of this. But it is true. And I am going to touch on the pandemic a little bit, because I think I never really took my self-care seriously mm-hmm. until then. And it's interesting looking back at my experience as a new educator before the pandemic
mm-hmm.
and how overwhelmed I used to get. But it was almost like this imposter syndrome was trying to push me forward. So even though I felt burnt out, I felt tired, I felt stressed out, no one else was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
No one else was seeming stressed. All of my colleagues, all my mentors in school seemed very calm and very stoic. So I felt like I had to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the pandemic, my work did a very fantastic job at ensuring that we had the support that mm-hmm. we needed. Specifically, they even hired extra help in order to ensure that we had like COVID assistants
yeah.
whose role was really to make sure that at all the new protocols that happened during pandemic shutdowns and pieces like that did not impact the mm-hmm. well-being of the children and educators. But even with those extra people, of course we feel overwhelmed, and we got used to this pattern of just trying to get through it. And so we rushed through the pandemic mm-hmm. and it almost feels like a haze.
Yeah.
And then right after the pandemic, I noticed there was a huge increase in a lot of my children having difficulties with self-regulation. Now, in a preschool classroom, self-regulation is not fully developed, so it is very typical developmentally for children to be struggling with it. But what I noticed is when children were struggling with self-regulation, what were the adults doing around them?
Yeah.
And the more I started looking and reflecting on it and talking with my room partner around it, the more I realized that all the adults in these children's lives, including myself and my room partner, weren't regulated either. Yeah. And because we weren't regulated, we couldn't support the children to feel regulated. Mm-hmm. I think it comes down to we were so used to just trying to get through things, yeah. trying to get through the trauma, getting through the stress, that we forgot what self-regulation looked like and how important self-care is in creating self-regulation.
Agreed.
So it took my partner and I a long time. We spent a whole year with the group of children that we had, really working backwards and figuring out how to support myself on skills that I never learned about self-care for myself before the pandemic, and helping my room partner and what he needed at the time, and mm-hmm. making sure we were supporting each other's roles, and then supporting children's self-regulation. So it was a really great opportunity for me to see how self-regulation and self-care intertwine.
Yeah.
Which means, really, self-care and children's learning intertwines.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I wasn't regulated emotionally, physically, mentally, then our children can't be either.
Yeah. I'm going to circle back to two things you touched on. You talked a lot about just being able to recognize when we take a break, when we need to take a break and take a step back. I think that's important for us to understand our cues as well, too, because we teach the children that we work with, and we encourage them to recognize their cues and to find what works for them to self-regulate, forgetting that we need to self-regulate first and understand where all of this is coming from before we're able to support them. So I do commend you and your room partner to actually highlighting that, because I find often, and even for myself, that's overlooked. Sometimes our body's telling us something, and we're in the motions. And going back to COVID, we just wanted, I remember I just wanted to get through the day. Like, I just, okay, yeah. We were so focused on the cleaning and making sure as soon as a toy goes into their mouth, it goes into the sanitization station, forgetting that we kind of need time to take a breather and step back as well, too. And you talked a little bit about just giving ourselves little breaks. I'll talk a little bit more about this, but the College of EC actually has a section on their website dedicated to self-care. It's fairly new. And they do have a video from Dr. Jean Clinton. It's like a little guru in the early years profession. And she highlights the importance of self-care in the profession. And she calls it, and I'll quote her, she says, it is a professional responsibility. So when you think about how this interconnects, we look at how the College of EC and Standards of Practice talks about our responsibility as educators to make the well-being and children our foremost responsibility. But connecting it back again to ourselves, how can we do that if we don't put ourselves first, right? It's a really good video to check out. So our listeners, if you're interested, you can head on over to the College of ECE's website and take a look at that. But Dr. Jean Clinton also talks about giving ourselves little breaks, like you touched on, Taylor, just recognizing that. And she calls them mental moments or even brain breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Just for us to be fully present in the moment. And I think as educators, that is important for us to be fully present in the moment with the children that we work with. Circling back to my question of why it is important. For me, self-care is important because that's kind of like me hitting the reset button on everything that I have happening. So I can take a step back, just calm down, kind of feel whatever I'm feeling, then be able to go back into the situation or whatever I have happening with a fresh mind.
I actually really love how you brought up not only Dr. Jean's video mm-hmm. on the College of EC's website, but also that reset. Because in her video, she actually starts with, I believe it's Daniel Siegel's.
Yes, Siegel, I think so. Siegel, yeah.
His description of VUCA time.
Yes.
Which is, for the listeners, it's times that are seen as volatile, uncertain, complex, or ambiguous, or unknown. Yeah. And that's how we described the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And what I loved about it is she was talking about how the pandemic was this VUCA time, yeah. but instead of viewing VUCA time as this stressful, difficult time, she viewed it almost as thinking of a way of building a new way of doing something. Mm-hmm. So even though the pandemic is long gone, sorry for the listeners that just had to listen to me knock, but I needed to do it just in case. Even though it's long gone necessarily, there are still pieces of it that should linger, and we should reflect on that time as a time of restoration or a time of innovation for ourselves and creating that new way, kind of like how my partner and I did in our classroom. It was a difficult time for us, but instead of just sitting in the negativity, we found ways of creating new. Yeah. And I think that is what is so important about self-care, is realizing when you're in a difficult time, or realizing before you get to the difficult yeah. part. If you start building strategies now, it becomes easier later on.
You just made me think about when we work with the children, the first thing we look at, let's say we're having a moment in the classroom, we look at, okay, what were the triggers, what happened before? And when I think about it, that's kind of something that kind of needs to trickle into our lives as educators, or even in our personal lives, just because we need to recognize what is the trigger, what is happening.
Definitely.
And just yeah. being able to, the first step is recognize, and then being able to find what works for us, right?
Self-care should be built into our reflective mm-hmm. practice. We reflect on all things in our field. We should also be reflecting on what are the needs we need to.
Professional responsibility, according exactly. to Dr. Jean Clinton.
You know what? I love how we brought up Dr. Jean Clinton, because we actually just recently had her too this yeah. year for early on day, yeah. Early on staff day. And we also had her last year for the infant and early years mental health deep dive day. Mm-hmm. I know that focus was necessarily mostly on infant and early years mental health, but she says pretty much what she says in the video on the College of UC's website. Yeah. It's our professional responsibility to take care of ourselves so that we can worry about our children's mental health.
Yeah, I agree 100%. All right, so if you can think about some self-care practices that you found that actually work for you in the wonderful chaos of the early years environment, what would you tell our listeners? Can you share some insight?
I think it's different for everyone, mm-hmm. and I know that work life and home life and our relationships with others and our, like, our friends and our family tend to intersect a lot, mm-hmm. but I think finding that balance is important. I know we talked about it when we were talking about yeah. the professional learning podcast, so make sure you all listen to that episode too. But I think it is really important to reflect on giving yourself the space to take time for just you, as well as all those other pieces. Sometimes people find being around their friends and family a type of self-care. So if that's you, make sure you're making that mm-hmm. time for yourself. Like you and I, we get our nails done.
And then we debrief weekly.
I wish we videotaped it so you could see my gorgeous pink nails today. But it is something that I strive for. And although I love having pretty pink nails, mm-hmm. I love doing my nails because it's time for me to just be by myself with my nail tech and just decompress. If I'm being honest, the way that I started with looking at my mental health and looking at self-care was actually worrying about the children first. Mm-hmm. And then I started realizing, well, if I'm showing my children what they need to do, then shouldn't I be doing that for mm-hmm. myself? So actually working on mindfulness with children really helped me. Mm-hmm. It's actually really funny that I think about this, because we actually have a webinar with Lisa Clark that before I started working at CDRCP, I was actually using that webinar with my children. It's a webinar that's called Mindfulness with Children. It's on our pre-recorded yeah. On-demand webinars on our website. And Lisa Clark, during this time, is actually discussing these pieces with them. Moving mindfully with children yeah. with Lisa Clark, and you can actually play that video to the children because it's a whole video of her doing mindfulness yoga with you, and it's teaching you not only how to do this with your children, but also she's doing it with you. So she's got a yoga mat on the floor, she's sitting on the floor with you, and she's talking to you like she would do it with young children. So she talks about, you know, reaching up and holding your bubble in your hand atop your head, deep breaths, and she leads you through that entire process. So I found it really helpful for myself, not only to play for my children, but also I started to pick up on that language that she was using that I could start demonstrating with the children.
The monotone, yeah. I've actually done a yoga session with her. It's amazing. You know, it's funny. I have these questions for you, and I'm thinking about myself. I'm like, what do I do for self-care? For me, I think it's just understanding and taking the moment to slow down. When I worked in the classroom, one of the biggest things that helped me is actually letting my room partner know that I need a breather, and as long as Horatio was permitting, I would call for support. And even if it just meant going outside to take a 5-minute breather, come back in and reset, that helps a lot. Like we talked about before, like self-care doesn't have to be big and extravagant. It can be simple as going to go get an ice cream, taking a walk around the block. But one takeaway I think is important from this podcast for you listeners is just to remember that, like we said, self-care doesn't have to be big and extravagant, but being able to recognize when you need to reset, I think that's the important takeaway from it.
Yeah, the outdoors is such a great opportunity too, because I find that sometimes when we're in those moments where we can't leave the classroom, there is not enough educators available, and we're in ratio, something as simple as just going outside early and spending more time outside can be super, super helpful. I think that was one thing that my room partner and I found was better for our self-care too, because he and I spent a lot of time outside. Like we did almost the entire day outside for like 3 days in a row. We would do large group outside. We would do small group outside. We would do art outside. We would go on walks in our forest that was close to our place. And it was rejuvenating for us and our needs, but really it was also helpful for the children too, because it helped them still keep up with their routine, but having a differing environment to be in.
Yeah. You just made me think of something. I had an educator that, like, when we had days that we weren't able to go out, because she loved to be outdoors, she would just put music on and they would have like random dance parties in the classroom, and that helped. Like, that helped a lot with, you know, the chaos of the classroom, and just helped. She said it helped her to reset as well too, because she was able to just relax in the moment and be present, right?
Yeah, I know. I know it's difficult to process as well, especially when we have so many responsibilities. There is a lot of pieces that we have to do in the day, but those pieces shouldn't go before your needs and your children's needs. So it's really important to find a way of still getting those pieces done, but in a way that's healthy for you. So making dance parties, going outside, sitting with the children, having the children build their curriculum with you instead of sitting on your own trying to rush through it.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, to wrap things up, Taylor, I have one more question for you. What advice would you give to new educators just starting out on how to care for themselves?
Yeah, so don't be like me. when you start out, no one in your classroom is perfect. Every single person in your classroom needs to take care of themselves. If they are calm and they are collected, either they have routines built up where they give time for self-care, or they're really good at hiding it. Okay, so don't be afraid to express when you need time for yourself. Don't be afraid to reach out to your family or your friends or other colleagues and talk about strategies. It's not a problem, or it's not a identification of something about you when you're asking for help. Okay, it's again, it's altruistic. You are thinking of the betterment of others when you are thinking about the betterment of yourself.
oxygen mask in you first before anyone else.
Exactly.
So you just talked a little bit about strategies. So to end our podcast off, we have a fun little activity for our wonderful listeners. I'd like you to think about something you love doing for yourself, something that just helps you to relax and feel good. Like we said before, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. It can be simple as just jamming to your favorite song in the car. Go ahead, write it down, make a note on your phone, whatever works for you. And we encourage you to set a reminder to make this a regular part of your day. Remember, self-care doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to be something that you enjoy doing consistently. Taylor, I'd like to thank you for chatting with me today. And that's all the time that we have for now. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's episode, where we talked about the importance of self-care. And thank you again for listening, and connect with us at CDRCP on all social media platforms and on our website. And I would love for you to tell a colleague or friend about this podcast on Filling Our Cups as Educators. Take care, everyone. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. We hope today's conversation sparked new perspectives and deepened your professional learning. To extend your learning, reflect on your thoughts using the Professional Learning Reflection Form, available on our website at cdrcp.com, or if you're a Raising the Bar in Peel member, you can find it directly in your user guide. Reflective practice is a powerful tool for growth, and we encourage you to take a few moments to think critically about what you've listened to today. If you found this episode helpful, share it with your colleagues. Creating a space for shared reflection supports stronger, more connected learning communities. We hope you will join us again on the next episode of the Learning Link Podcast.